Well, President Putin announced the successful test of a nuclear-capable underwater drone called Poseidon. This is an autonomous weapon system described as being able to launch from a submarine and unleash radioactive tsunamis, they say, to devastate coastal cities. Okay. President Trump responded to Putin's announcement by basically saying, we can do that too. Here's his Truth Social. Like, I hate to do it, but I will do it. You know that meme? Mm-hmm. A plus is what he's giving himself, that we can do this too because other countries are doing it. Then I've instructed the Department of War to start doing it. Okay, the Kremlin responded to this by saying, go ahead and try. If you break your nuclear agreements, we will too. So who is provoking who here? Joining us to discuss is Colonel Don Davis, Dan Davis from the great YouTube show, The Deep Dive. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, Natalie.
All right, so who is poking who in this instance, do you think?
Well, I mean, you have to look at, first of all, this is, you have to go all the way back to George Bush, where the first poke, I guess, actually started when we got out of the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, the ABM Treaty. That was the genesis of the starting of the Budapest missile, the one that is, you talked about the Poseidon under the water, but there's also the one that's the basically a nuclear-fueled, nuclear-powered missile that can literally fly anywhere in the world and basically stay aloft as long as they want it to. There's no actual limitation on how far it can fly. That one was started because we got out of the ABM treaty, so they started developing missiles from that. The Oreshnik, which also can be nuclear tipped, which was shown last year. That was because we got out of the INF treaty. And so now then we have these missiles being developed because the U.S. got out of these agreements earlier. So now that we have the situation where, why now? Because you have the issue where, you know, the United States just put this new sanctions on Russia. Europe is continuing to put pressure, always trying to put pressure on Russia and providing long-range weapons, et cetera, in their war with Ukraine. So this seems to be Russia saying, hey, you got to understand there are some red lines that exist here, and here's some new ones. Now, the reality of it is there's already a nuclear triad in both the U.S. and the Russian side. And those things already have the ability to destroy the world over 10 times, whatever the number is. It doesn't even matter once it's beyond one. So this doesn't add anything to that. But what it does do is it just provokes that says, hey, here's something new and I'm kind of in your face. And then it's going to prompt the U.S. to say, and President Trump specifically, that, oh, yeah, like that Truth Social had there, I can do that, too. And so now I'm going to do it. And the problem is that that doesn't ramp things down. I think Russia's probably intent was that this would show that, hey, it's stupid to keep pushing against this bear right here and to even go up to the edge to find out where the red line is. And that'll make the West want to come down. But it's unfortunately, it's going to have the opposite effect. It's going to make them ramp it up more. And then you have the issue was, well, then will Russia ramp it back up? One other issue on there, it's unclear what President Trump meant when he said, we're going to test nuclear stuff too, because are you talking about make an actual nuclear test, a nuclear weapons test, like detonate a nuclear warhead to make sure they work? Are you talking about what the Russians did, which is a new class of missile or a new class of underwater drone? I'm not sure we have one to test. So it's unclear what President Trump might mean on that. We already have plenty of tests that are routine on our existing arsenal to make sure that those missile platforms will fly and operate the way they're supposed to, et cetera. So that wouldn't be new. So it's unclear what exactly President Trump means when he says we're going to do nuclear testing too, the same kind of things, because we don't have those platforms. So bottom line is anytime you start talking about, you know, oh, yeah, and with nuclear one-upsmanship, that's right. A bad thing for the planet.
Right. No, I think it's like we've gotten so far afield from, hey, like nuclear test ban treaties and like it's all like let's tamp this down. The rhetoric has been exploding over the past couple of years and it's gotten really out of hand. I think Moon of Alabama did a great job pointing out that, hey, what did Trump mean by this? By saying, hey, is he talking about a nuclear delivery vehicle here or is he talking about a nuclear warhead here? The Washington Post seems to think that it was him talking about nuclear warheads, but is it some sort of a new, some sort of a hypersonic missile or something that we haven't seen? Because as you just pointed out, Russia just rolled out, I think last week, some new missile that can, I mean, go hypersonic, that can like hover in the air and wait and take direction of like where it needs to go next, move itself and then strike a target. So it's not just being launched and then done. It's like, oh, I'm waiting for your, move?
It's actually subsonic, and that's part of the interesting thing about it, because it can be maneuverable. So it's not, you know, a hypersonic like the Oreshnik, for example, which can just blast so fast that you can't have countermeasures to it. This one, it's not too unlike our Tomahawk cruise missiles, except that because it has a nuclear power pack on it, it has virtually unlimited range. It can stay aloft as long as they want it to, as long as the components continue to function, like an aircraft carrier, a nuclear powered aircraft carrier, which can go decades without having to refuel. It's similar to that. So it is a new capability in terms of the Russians there. But the missile itself is subsonic, but it can go anywhere, and it can come in from areas where you don't have your weapons oriented, where you're not the normal ballistic trajectory of a typical ICBM, for example. You have a good place to watch those to come up, go up into space, come down. These can literally go 20, 30 meters above the ground. They can hug mountains and go over. I mean, this is really something pretty amazing in terms of capability. And I'm pretty sure that we don't have anything like that. I'm not sure what we would be testing.
I have another question, unless you had something.
Go ahead.
So it was just reported this afternoon, Vladimir Putin has invited the press. I don't know if you saw this story, Colonel. I want to get your take on this. They have now encircled, I don't know how many Ukrainian soldiers, they've completely encircled them. And the Russians have said, hey, we want to invite international press to come here and you can watch. We're going to allow them over the next, I forget the timetable, the amount of time for them to leave and surrender and walk out. Otherwise, they're going to be slaughtered. We want to invite the international press corps to come and watch this. What do you make of that? Is that, I mean, propaganda, I'm sure, of course, because they want to look good on the international stage, but it's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the propaganda value is out of this one, because they have the situation in hand on the front line. And there's some dispute, and a lot of people on the West and certainly on the pro-Ukraine side are kind of poo-pooing on that, because they're saying all you got to do is look at the ground and you can see they're not all the way surrounded. Well, that is true, and that a lot depends on your definition of what it means to be surrounded. They're especially in the Pokrovsk area and in the Kupiansk area, both of those kind of in the center of the Eastern Front and up in the northern part. There is a semicircle, a semi-cauldron around, like three sides are completely surrounded on the Russian side, and the very narrow opening to where anything can get in and out of there, and that means resupply, ammunition, food, water, medical support, etc., and replacements, that's under fire control, what the Russians call fire control. So they don't physically have it controlled, but they have with drones and with spotters, with artillery, with glide bombs, you name it. Anything that comes in there, it's just almost like a killing zone. So you effectively have the thing surrounded, even if it's not a physical yet. And so that's how they have done it many times before, like in the Bakhmut, in the Avdiivka, even in portions of the Kursk offensive. The Russians had them surrounded here, and they only had one exit, which they had under fire control. And they ended up destroying everybody in all of those locations I just mentioned. And they now have the situation replicated again in both Kupiansk and in Pokrovsk. And so the question is going to be, are you just going to continue to fight until everybody is killed or captured, as they did in those other ones? Or are you going to withdraw? What they should do is withdraw while they still have a chance, so that they can save those troops, because they are going to lose those two cities. There's no question about that, whether sooner or later, probably by Pokrovsk, maybe even by the end of November, and Kupiansk potentially by the end of the year. It could go faster than that, it could go slower than that, but it will happen. It's just methodical. They have the capacity to do it. And, you know, I think that what President Putin is doing is saying, we've already done this before, so this is our normal modus operandi, and we're offering you a chance to see that we actually mean what we say. The fact that he's allowing international people to come in and not just his own hand-picked members of the media, I think is legit, and I think somebody should take him up on it. And so you can put to proof, is it true, is it not true? Then you don't have to worry about propaganda. It's actually going to be, you can tell for yourself. And I'll be interested to see what comes out of that.
Right. Instead of creating fake stories like in Bakhmut and these other, this other propaganda that CNN and the Associated Press,
the maternal hospital,
ran with. Yeah. You're killing women who are giving birth right now. No, not actually the truth. look at all these dead bodies. They just left civilians in the middle of the streets. Yeah, sure. Right. So very interesting. Colonel, great to see you as always. Host of the Colonel Davis Deep Dive Show. Great analysis as always. If you want really expert analysis on all of this,
yeah,
you got
to
follow
the show. I try to never miss it. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. I appreciate it. See you guys next time.
Thanks, Colonel, as always.